I'm Louise DiLullo, Chief Client Officer here at Advertising Week.
And I'm Ruth Mortimer, Global President at Advertising Week.
You're listening to the Future is Female podcast from Advertising Week in partnership with LinkedIn.
Each week on the Future is Female podcast, we'll be speaking to female leaders from across the industry.
These exceptional leaders, fearless visionaries, and trailblazing executives share their stories and offer advice to all women in the workplace, regardless of seniority.
Thank you for joining us, and please consider subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, or your podcast platform of choice. Welcome to the Future is Female podcast. This time I'm joined by Carly Zipp, the Global Director of Brand Marketing at Amazon Ads, and we're going to talk about everything from how to invest in your team to how you grow your own potential. Hey Carly, welcome to the Future is Female podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting to be here and take some time to talk about ourselves this morning.
Excellent. Well, Carly, with that, would you start off by telling me a little bit about yourself, what you're doing now, and maybe a little bit about what led you to your current role?
Sure. So I'm the Global Director of Brand Marketing for Amazon Ads. And what that means is, within Amazon, which we all know is a loved and trusted household name, there are many different properties that can be monetized. And so if you think about all the different offerings under the Amazon canvas, whether that is Wondery for podcasts like our own, Prime Video and studios that create our movies, you think about the homepage itself and when you're scrolling and thinking about recommendations and products that you want to look at, there are sponsored brands and products that are there. And there's many other properties such as Fire TV that are under the Amazon umbrella that, when they're all put together, give a really compelling offering for a brand or an advertiser to reach their audience exactly where they are at that exact moment in time. So I have the privilege and the honor of leading brand marketing to tell that story in many different avenues, whether it is in our own channels or through brand campaigns and paid media, our website, events, you know, narratives that go up on thought leadership websites and mainstream press. I have the honor of leading all of that.
That doesn't sound like a small role, but tell us a bit about how did you end up in this role?
Well, you know, I've always had a really keen interest in media. I grew up in Washington, D.C. I went to a school where all my friends' parents were politicos, and my parents were in finance and the law. And I always wanted to be in entertainment and media. I had no idea how to do it. So once I had gotten into college, I walked into my local radio station and I said, I really want to intern here. At the time, this is probably going to date me. But at the time, local radio stations were kind of like the local celebrities. So your local radio DJ was like your connection. I see you, you're into that. You can feel that too. Yeah. So, you know, when you thought about these local radio stations and how they had a connection to like larger entertainment, but really a local feel, they were the most accessible for me. And so I ended up interning at a brand new station that was just launching that was all about pop music and top 40 and celebrity, and ended up doing a year-long internship with them and delaying college because they needed a midday DJ during the 10 to 3 hour. They call it the midday drive. So people are commuting, you know, wherever they're going. They're not coming to and from work, but they're going somewhere. It's a lesser known time slot. And so they said, you know what, we'll take a chance on you. We'll pair you up with a really seasoned DJ. And from there, my love just grew for it. And I did it, you know, I did kind of talent relations, PR, marketing, entertainment all through college. When I graduated, I kind of found my way into magazines. I happen to be the youngest person in the room. So not because I'm anything digital savvy, but because I was the youngest person in the room, I was the first one to open up social media accounts and bring so many of these legacy properties that we all know and love, like People Magazine or Entertainment Weekly, Sports Illustrated, Time. I created all their Facebook pages and I helped create websites for them, the very early ones. And then from there, I kind of just followed the media property chain. So I went to television, I went back to digital, I then went to out of home. I have a very strong point of view that out of home is like the unsung hero of the media industry. Everyone loves a billboard. And we always used to say that there are some things that a 6-inch screen just can't do. So when you see yourself on a billboard, it's just amplified. And I was in billboards for quite some time. I got married, I had kids, and then this little unknown platform called TikTok came knocking on my door, and I thought it was just time to take a chance. And while I was interviewing with them, the world shut down, the pandemic happened, and I always said, and I will always say in interviews, that I believe that TikTok's success really was just so meteoric during and because of the pandemic, because people just needed a sunny place on the internet and a happy place to look at silly dancing videos or like cats running around. And so it was a really, you know, fascinating time to be there. And I was very fortunate when I was there building from the ground up, saying, you know, putting it out in the world, like, this is so great, but I wish I just had more support. And I got a call from an Amazon recruiter, and that was that.
It sounds like you've had a career that must have been a lot of fun along the way. And I'm sure you know a lot of great celebrity gossip that I feel I really need to know from your time. But what was it that linked all those jobs together? What was it that kept you interested? It feels like maybe storytelling has been a big part of it.
Yeah, I have a real love for storytelling. I think it's so compelling to think about the medium being the message. So not the story itself is important, but the way you tell it and where you distribute it is so important. And I remember very early on, I had a college professor that would say, if content is king, then distribution is queen, and she's the one that turns the king's head. And so I just remember very clearly thinking, like, that is so fascinating. You could tell the story of, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, a colloquial bedtime story. And it could look very different, whether it was a digital magazine, whether it was a billboard canvas, whether it was a video on TikTok, whether it was a short form story on Prime Video. And I've just loved throughout the years thinking about visual storytelling and how that comes to life across different canvases.
The link between your jobs seems quite clear to me with that love of storytelling. For women who are listening who think, wow, that's actually quite a big pivot from radio to billboards to digital platforms. These are incredibly different media. You know, what advice would you give women who are thinking about pivoting in their careers?
I've always told people that it's so much about what you know and who you know. So I actually just posted something on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. And I just posted something last week that talked about not necessarily always hiring for skill, but hiring for hunger and personality and drive. And I just so strongly believe that marketing and PR are so much about being intuitive and having a point of view and like really socializing that point of view. And so much of it can be taught. But what you really want to think about when you're pivoting from like, you know, career to career or platform to platform is who you know and who you've collected along the way. And if you can take some of like that early knowledge that you gain working on certain things and then apply it towards conversations with people that you've met along the way, chances are that person is going to know someone who knows someone and just introduce you and let you have a conversation. So that's a really long-winded answer of saying that I always give advice, like know who your people are. Know who your people are that are going to help you and are going to support you and champion you. and really want you to try new things. You know, there are so many women out there, so many men out there who are in this field who want to support other people and who want to help people come up the way they do. And I always tell people, like, use me as a resource, use me as a reference. I'm happy to network. If there's someone on my LinkedIn that you want to be introduced to, let me introduce you to them. And I think you have to know who those people are and identify them and let them help you along the way. For me, I was always interested just in media, and I found my way actually through each career move that I made was due to some female in my life who said, like, I think you should check this out. And even the recruiters that I mentioned previously were all females who, by the way, to this day are still friends of mine. Like, we pivoted to an actual friendship outside of just a, you know, a professional relationship. So I think it's really important to foster those relationships and take what you know and apply it to who you know.
Do you know, I think that is great advice, particularly about letting people help you, because I think sometimes people feel that people will be unwilling to help you. But I've always found that actually the biggest skill is in getting out of your own way to let people help you. But you mentioned something interesting there, all the women who've helped you on your way, even the recruiters. And of course, Amazon itself is a name that means a legendary group of women in its original form. Tell me a bit about what your role is like now and the kind of how it feels to be a woman in your current role.
I have to say, Amazon is very well known for its amazing leadership principles. So we have 16 leadership principles that guide everything we do. And it's interesting because I've been at companies before that have tenets or ways of working or principles or guidelines. And, you know, you kind of know them, but they're in the background. Like, at Amazon, everything is at the forefront of what we do in those leadership principles. So for me, people ask me all the time internally, like, what's your favorite leadership principle this week? Or like, what are you leaning into? And I always say that the most important one to me is hire and develop the best. And so, you know, that really means, like, identify who your people are and develop them and invest in them. And investing in them can be something so small, like having someone on my team who, you know, worked on a script for something, like travel overseas to go to that event and to see it come to life and then to go to dinner afterwards and just talk about it. Like, that feels so small, but for that person who's more junior, that's really important to them. And we do so many amazing things at Amazon, and we don't always get to see it all come to life just because things are moving so quickly. But small things like that really make a difference in people's lives. So for me, you know, asking me like how I like it, I have to tell you, like, I love it. I have an amazing team of people who I am so strongly invested in and who I know are invested in each other, not just as like a team professionally, but personally. We had a girl on my team, I won't say her name, but she got engaged over the weekend. And I joked, I think she texted, I think I was one of the first people she texted because she just wanted Monday off. But regardless, she did text me as one of her first people. And it was just so rewarding, like, to just like know that I play a part in this person's life that is like beyond our everyday working relationship. And just to know that, you know, my team thinks about me the way that I think about them. And I just find that like so rewarding and unique, because I always tell my team, and I'm sure it's the same with you, we spend more hours together, whether it's on video platforms or in-person meetings, traveling. I travel sometimes almost every other week. I spend more time with people at work than I do with my family at times. So if I'm going to take time away from my kids and my husband and my parents and my community, yeah, it better be worth it. Like, I better like the people that I'm doing it with. And so I'm very proud, not only of the work that we've delivered, but really of like the team we've created and what that means to people on my team to be a part of that.
So it's clear you really care a lot about the people you work with and who work for you. One of my big beliefs is that sometimes the industry and employers are too narrow about their beliefs, what success looks like for women. They believe it looks very much like success looked like for men. What's your view on that?
I may have a different answer than what a lot of people think, but I'll tell you this, like for a very long time now, I've been put in interviews that are very solely focused. And I'll take a step back. It changed when I came to Amazon. But prior to Amazon, I was put in interviews that were all about being a working mom. And I would be on panels about being a working mom. I was put on panels when I was pregnant about what pregnancy was like, working. And I kind of like sat back at one point and I was like, you know, I'm really like, my kids are my life. Like they are my greatest accomplishment. But like, I have a lot more to say than what it's like to be a working mom. And like, by trying to expand the world by putting working moms on a panel about working moms, like, aren't we kind of taking a step backwards? Like, aren't we kind of saying like, oh, this is a strong woman. Like, well, she should talk about motherhood and work. For me, the more that I was put in that role, the more I thought like, wow, this is like, this isn't doing us any favors. And so I will say that when I got to Amazon and, you know, just throughout my career, I had built these relationships and people wanted to interview me when I was here and I was put on panels and things. I was really pleasantly surprised and grateful that I was able to just talk about work. And I was able to just talk about really cool shit that we're doing and be really proud of that. And like, yes, you know, we recently in January, we were at CES, which is the largest consumer electronics show, which has a huge marketing track in Las Vegas. And I was on stage moderating a panel. The panel was all about actually storytelling and what that means. And it had nothing to do with kids. But I found myself inserting something about my kids because it had nothing to do with it. So I think to answer your question, I think for so long, like we've wanted to like course correct how women fit in the marketplace, but I don't think we need to apologize or explain or like highlight that anymore. Like, yes, it is hard being a working mom. Yes, like I was late to this interview because my computer was restarting because I was putting laundry in the washing machine because my nanny comes and is going to like take over for me at some point while I'm working a full-time job. So like, yes, all that is true. But at the end of the day, like when I turn on my business sense, like I am full business and I bring my family along with me in that when I choose to, not when the workplace wants me to define myself that way. So I think where we've come a long way, even since the pandemic, by bringing ourselves to the workplace because being at home made us do that. I think we then kind of went like overboard in saying like, oh, let's talk all about being a working mom and it's so hard. Like, yeah, like I am a working mom, but I'm also a worker and I'm proud of that. And I love talking about that and choosing when to bring in the mamahood.
Yeah. And I think different people bring themselves to different things. Like in a similar way, I'd never actually thought some people in their LinkedIn will have like, you know, proud mother, you know, sometimes you actually have proud father as well. And I've never thought of that because although I am, I think, why would anybody care? Like, this is my responsibility. But I think being able to bring yourself to your work is a really important thing. And for people to give you grace and understand your challenges just makes everyone, or it makes me better and more tolerant of working with other people, I think.
Absolutely. I agree.
We've talked about some of the great things that have happened for you, particularly since you came to Amazon, but tell me about some challenges you've had in your career and how you feel you've kind of navigated past them.
A lot of the challenges I've had are probably about this very subject. I do think prior to the pandemic, I was not really being my, like, authentic is such an overused word, but it is very applicable. Like, I just don't think that I was being my true self because, you know, it was much easier to leave my house, drop off my kid at preschool, leave my baby at home with my nanny and go into work and like switch that on and then switch it off when I needed to. And I think that was a big challenge. And even though I had mostly female, you know, managers and mentors, there was still an expectation that they were more separate than they should have been. So with my second child, when I was pregnant, actually, I had these like crippling migraines, like had to be hospitalized. And for a very long time, I kind of just refused to like really take care of myself. And I remember we had this mother's room where I worked, and the mother's room was basically like a janitor's closet. There was like nothing accommodating. There were no lights. There was no windows, no refrigerator, nothing. It was kind of just like this empty room. And I would go in there every day and like make up a meeting. And I would go in there because I had this migraine and I would fall asleep because it was pitch black in there. And I would just sleep. Like sometimes it would be 2 hours that I would sleep. And I would wake up and I was like so discombobulated and I'd probably miss something. And finally, you know, I was really kind of like only hurting myself and had to go to and be hospitalized for a little bit of time. I have to believe that if I had just brought myself to work and if I had just ponied up and said like, hey, I'm having this issue, this is a medical issue, I have to believe that my team at work would have been extremely supportive. But I think we just weren't conditioned to do that. And then, you know, like we talked about, I do think the pandemic kind of just blurred all of these lines. And even though I previously mentioned, I think we went overboard a little bit, at least for me, I do think that it really allowed me to say like, yeah, my kids are going to be photobombing and my kids are going to be right in here. And I promise you, if this interview was being done at nighttime, they would be in here. They're not shy. But, you know, I've done quite a few interviews where I talk about the fact that my kids are now very much a part of my world and my team knows them. And actually, when I have offsites for my team, for my leadership team, I purposely will invite them to my house to meet my kids and be with my family, because I think that's just such a strong part of who we are.
Sometimes we only involve women in these conversations. And one of the things I've found useful is involving men in the conversation. Some of the people who've actually told me they find it hardest to leave work, tell people when they have a problem, ask for help, are in fact men who've said, oh, I couldn't leave to get my kids like you do because I feel other men would judge me. How do we bring men along for the ride?
I think it kind of depends like what industry and what part of that industry you work in. Like I work in marketing where like we're very, first of all, I always say my team has like all the feelings. We're brand marketers. We do creative. All that, like half of my job is therapy. Like we have all the emotions. So I think to work like within marketing, within my team particularly, we're just a lot more we put it out on the table, like what we're going through. And, you know, it is a primarily female-led team just because of the nature of the makeup of the team. So the men on my team, I will say, are actually very open and actually lead with their home lives. And I won't call them out, but I have someone on the team who was really responsible for most of our Super Bowl activation. We did the first ever Super Bowl for Amazon, which was an amazing activation. It was like very history making, very cool. He led that. And then the next week was like, listen, I'm taking my kids to Disney World for the first time, and posted about it in our Slack channel and like very much like promoted that. And all of us wanted to know what his daughter, you know, dressed up as and what he was doing. So I think it's actually for him, it's a huge boon within my team to be open like that. I know not every team or I know not every industry has that privilege. I can tell you my husband certainly abides by what you said, which is, you know, when he's in a meeting, if one of the kids runs in, like he's like, I can't have them in this meeting. That's like, I will be judged. I will, you know, lose this deal. I will not do this. I think it's just like going to take continued socialization of it, because listen, when he finally did allow my daughter to be on camera and say hi, because that's all she wanted, his partners were thrilled and, you know, loved seeing that human side of him. And I think it's kind of just like a mental model. It's just a shift of saying like, hey, it actually makes you more accessible.
And, you know, I think these are some of the advantages of, as kind of you have more women in the workplace, more female-led teams, your cultures end up adapting so that they're a better balance of those approaches that might not have been there in only male-dominated teams. And in the same sense, I think it's, you know, it's great to have a good blend of different types of people in general. Let's talk a little bit then about women who've really supported you, or men. And do you think, is mentorship enough, or do you need people who actively sponsor you in your career?
I think you have to identify a group of people that are really going to lift you up. I don't know. I feel like anyone listening to this may be able to identify, like, my Instagram is like, you know, 20% like inspirational quotes of like working moms or women in the, you know, in the workplace. And there's just so many quotes that I see about just like finding and identifying other women who lift you up. Like, that's it. Like, no strings attached, no hidden agenda, no jealousy, no anger, just like lifting each other up. I am very fortunate that I've found that, not only in some colleagues, but I truly look up to my manager as someone that I look to lift me up when I need it. And even people on my team, like, I always say to my leaders on my team, like, this is a symbiotic relationship. You need me just as much as I need you. I need your support just as much as you need my support. And I think it is really important to have a very strong village behind you to support you, not only at work, right? Like, you have to have people at home supporting you to be a strong, and whatever that home life looks like, you've got to have that. Because I think for me, for a very long time, particularly like deep in the pandemic, when I was working at TikTok and I was working crazy hours, I worked 8 a.m. to midnight for almost 2 years, just because of time zone differences. And I didn't really have that community because I worked so much. And the minute that I, you know, made the change to Amazon and was able to have a better life balance, I leaned into my community outside of work to also lift me up. And guess what? Like, they think what we do is super fascinating and really cool. And I love talking about my job, and I love not talking about my job. So I think it's important to kind of have that community and identify who your champions are very, very early on, as much as you can.
I think that's a really good point as well about having, it's your team as well. Mentorship can be sort of 360 degree. It's not just people above you. You can be lifted up by a whole group of people. We talked about how important it is also to focus on the actual work. What are the things at the actual work that you're doing right now that are getting you really excited for the year ahead?
I think for me, we've done an amazing job over the past year bringing our brand to a new level of being, you know, a business-focused brand. Like, our Amazon Ads brand is primarily geared towards brands and agencies looking to invest with Amazon. But, you know, brands are made up of people, and agencies are made up of people. And so I've really made it very clear that I have to market to those people versus market to the business side. And I think we've done a phenomenal job this past year of introducing, you know, new brand campaigns to kind of like help our brand tell our story better, and what's our tone of voice and how can we show up. And, you know, nothing is a better example of that than Unbox, which is our product event. So it's where we launch products and we tell the world, you know, this is what you can expect from us in the upcoming year. And it started off a couple of years ago as one flagship event in New York. We did a little test last year and we did an extension in London. And then this year we're actually going to be in 7 different locations across the world, everywhere from Japan to Paris, China, Austin, Texas, Germany, possibly Australia and beyond. And we're really excited about kind of like bringing that across the world to be able to tell our story. And I think another, for me, exciting thing that we have launched is, you know, at the end of January, we announced Prime Video ads. So those were basically ads within Prime Video. We have an opportunity. We have this massive reach. We have this extremely premium content, which, you know, I binge every night. And I think we have a really huge opportunity to talk to advertisers really at all stages.
If you had to say, what's the one thing you've been proudest of in your time at Amazon so far, what would you say is Unboxed the thing you've been most proud of?
Two things. One, I think my team. I'm so proud of my team and the world that we've created. I call it, you know, we're brand marketing. I call it the brand bubble. So I love the camaraderie and the partnership that my team has and feels with one another. Professionally, I would have to say I think it's actually the Super Bowl. We did something very groundbreaking. Typically, the Super Bowl is activated by consumer brands. So, you know, you think PepsiCo, you think Mars, you know, Reebok, Gatorade, any of those consumer brands that are associated with sports or want to talk to consumers, those are the big ones showing up. And media, you know, conglomerates or media agencies like ourselves or broadcasters, they only show up by doing hosted trips. So they take a select number of clients and they do a very VIP experience with them. But it's very exclusive and it's, you know, widely kind of just like condensed to those people on the trip. But for us, we kind of wanted to do something very different than both of those. So we created a lounge in the middle of all of the Super Bowl activity. It promoted Thursday Night Football, which is our biggest sports offering and, you know, most exciting that we have. And within the middle of the Aria, which was, you know, one of the central hotels, we were able to build this lounge that created excitement and chatter and FOMO. And so much of our talent, not only on Thursday Night Football, but kind of just walking around, popped in. So it wasn't this exclusive experience. Yes, you had to be invited as a brand or an agency, but you could see what was going on and you got to do really cool things. Usher's DJ was like our DJ for late night parties. We had custom hats. We had custom sneakers. We actually just signed rights to NASCAR. We had NASCAR racing. We had football, like legends racing each other and racing customers in the space. And it was just very, very unique, very history making. And it was just a really cool experience. And I have to say, like, my team on site literally said night after night, we worked until 3 or 4 a.m. and every night said, this is literally my career highlight. So that to me is the most rewarding.
Fantastic. And I think it brings it back full circle to what we were talking about at the start, which was about how you love that storytelling. And it feels like you managed to create that kind of completely new story and moment that brought something to life, which I think is so rewarding. Last question, Carly, if you're going to leave people listening to the podcast with something so they get a bit of an insight into Carly's brain, what's the one piece of advice you would leave people with?
I would say something I really try to live by, which is don't ever settle. I think for me, for a very long time, I settled and I allowed myself to kind of get into a routine that I wasn't okay with, but it just kind of became my daily routine. And thanks to so much of what we talked about here, leaning into community, being excited about storytelling, building a strong team, that allowed me to push myself forward. And with the help of many amazing people and mentors and colleagues and friends along the way, I was able to shape my career into something that I am so immensely proud of. And there's no better feeling than having two kids who every time a Prime truck drives by, and that's probably what, every 2 seconds, will say, Mom, that's you. That's you, Mom. And it makes all the days away from them, all the times I'm on site working, all the late nights, it makes it worth it. And I'm proud of myself that I didn't settle and I pushed myself, and I would encourage anyone listening to do the same.
Thank you so much, Carly. I think that's great advice, especially don't settle. It works for everything. It works for work. It works for romance. It works for family, friendships. It's basically the essential piece of advice we all need. So thank you so much, Carly.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a colleague and leaving us a review on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you again in the next episode.